And our next public hearing is subdivision 2005-62, Dream Builders Construction Incorporated.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, dividing 93.58 acres into 79 lots, located north of Route 224, 80 feet west of U.S. Route 113. This application was also reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee, and I would ask Mr. Avedy if he has received any additional comments.
Mr. Chairman, we did receive a septic feasibility statement from DENREC. They indicated that the site is suitable for individual on-site septic systems. On August the 2nd, we received a letter from the Department of Transportation. They've issued a letter of no objection for the entrance location. And the applicant's attorney has submitted revised deed restrictions, and Mr. Robertson advised that he's received a copy. Paul Hatton, if you have any questions.
All right, sir. Thank you. Is there anyone here representing this application?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Eric Howard, the firm of Wilson, Howard, and Byard, here on behalf of the applicant.
Okay.
And please, the commission, with me tonight is Mr. John Murray of the Kirscher Engineering Firm, and he's handing the commission, if it's acceptable, a smaller version of the rendering that you see on the easel in front of you.
Hey, young man. Did you get your stamp yet? Huh? All right.
Okay. Deer Creek is a proposed subdivision in the AR1 district. As the commission is all aware, the A1 district, AR1 district, is one of the permissible stated intended uses is single-family residential, low-density residential use, which we believe is exactly what we have proposed here, a use that's completely compatible and consistent with the current zoning of the property. We're not asking for any rezoning of the property. We're asking for a subdivision approval in accordance with the current zoning. Mr. Murray will speak in more detail when he gives his presentation. The property is located on Statenville Road up near Lincoln, between Ellendale and Lincoln, approximately 100 feet is the property boundary. You'll see the entrance is actually closer to around 1,000 feet off of 113, but the property is right next to 113 up between Lincoln and Ellendale. Mr. Jimmy Lee, one of the principals of Dream Builders, the applicant, is here to testify tonight also. He will testify as to the desirability of this land and how it's very suitable for single-family residential development. The feasibility study that Mr. Abbott referred to shows that the vast majority of this land, the soils, are compatible for standard gravity systems. The proposal is for on-site gravity-fed septic systems and on-site water, which we believe are both appropriate because of the compatibility of this property for that type of development. What makes it good for septic, on-site septic, is what makes it not so good for farming. You will hear a testimony tonight also from Mr. Carlisle, the current owner of the farm, who is a Sussex County farmer, who will say that this property really is not that, it's not that good for farming, and that use of the property for residential use is an appropriate use for this land. Mr. Murray will go through the items of Section 99.9C, the 17 considerations, not touch in detail on each one, but again, we believe this land is completely appropriate for single-family residential use. You'll see that the property is kind of surrounded by wetlands, and we think that is very conducive to what we want to do, because none of those will be touched. You don't have to cross over any of them. You don't in any way have to disturb them. None of the lot lines encroach upon any of the wetlands. The wetlands are all open common area. If you look at some of the I was looking at the other day at Section 99.16 and some of the things of consideration in subdivision. One of the things it talks about is suitability of the land and preservation of natural features, and whether or not there are any features of the land that make it unsuitable for a development. And this land remarkably has almost none of those features. It's nice, clear land that is well drained, that sits kind of has a natural fall to it, and there really are very few problematic, if any, issues that we have had to address because it really we believe is land that is perfect for a residential development consistent with the AR1 district. We are not asking for any kind of cluster development. We're asking for a straight subdivision in accordance with the current zoning. Mr. Murray will testify as to the significantly greater density that we could ask for, but Mr. Lee will testify as to why he's not asking for that. That's not the kind of subdivision he wants. He wants more of a rural type, country type subdivision, and we're not looking for any great density. We're looking for completely a consistent density with the current zoning. And with that, I'm going to turn the podium over to Mr. John Murray.
Good evening. As Mr. Howard stated, my name is John Murray. I'm a project manager with Kircher Engineering, located here at 413 East Market Street in Georgetown. Some of the more broad points of the subdivision were already mentioned. As Mr. Howard stated, this is a 93.58-acre tract of land located approximately 80 feet from U.S. 113 southbound, just south of Hudson Pond. On the property, we're proposing 79 single-family dwelling lots, all of which would be a minimum 3/4 acre, complying with the zoning code. The roadways, as shown within the development, would propose to have open drainage swales, mainly due to the nature of the soils, as Mr. Howard had discussed earlier. The stormwater management areas that we've shown, although on the rendering they're shown more as a blue shade as water to give you an idea of where they would be placed, the soils on the site are most conducive to infiltration. That was something that was actually brought up during our PLUS hearing, that this area is actually in an area that Denerec has identified as a exceptional area for groundwater recharge. With that, planning for infiltration practices as part of our stormwater management would help with that infiltration to somewhat counter the fact that all of the lots are going to have individual lot wells serving them. So it would provide some sort of natural recharge to not only the water table, but the adjacent forested wetland environment. The open space that we've been providing on this plan is 23.37 total acres, which is 25% of the site. Of that open space, 17.72 acres is wooded along the branches that surround the property, and 5.65 acres have been set aside for stormwater management or possible passive or active recreation areas. Adjacent to the development, all within a mile, there's actually several subdivisions that are existing now, all zoned AR1. There's the 37-lot Hudson Pond acre development to the north, 24-lot Hudson Mill subdivision to the north, 12-lot Holly Hill subdivision also to the north, and a 15-lot Sussex Woods subdivision to the north, which actually our client has done some work in that development. If you've passed by, you may be familiar with Dream Builder Signs have been out there. An example of their products are right there on northbound 113. As stated, we have obtained a letter of no objection from John Fiore at the Delaware Department of Transportation. I believe it was stated in that letter of no objection, or possibly in the PLUS comments, that something that was stated earlier, that the roadway, Statenville Road, which this property fronts on, is a tar and chip surface road. There is the possibility that if preliminary approval is granted and we submit our subdivision entrance design to Delaware Department of Transportation, there's a good opportunity that our client may be responsible for effectively rotomill and overlaying the roadway in front of the subdivision to improve the conditions that are existing. The plan also calls out for a 10-foot wide right-of-way dedication to DelDOT to eventually turn that 50-foot wide right-of-way into a 70-foot wide right-of-way. As also stated, we've obtained a soil feasibility, a preliminary feasibility study approval from Denerec that was prepared by Coastal Soil Consultants Incorporated, and basically alluding to the nature of the soils that Mr. Howard had discussed earlier. When he was mentioning the cluster development, that is something that we had discussed with the client early on in the planning process, namely due to the extent of the forested wetlands that are surrounding the property and possibly generating more open space. When we ran our calculation, and Lawrence can correct me if I'm wrong, I came up with taking away the 30% required for open space, even though we're requiring or providing 25. That would leave us 65.51 acres available for development at 2 units per acre. That would be 131 units, conceivably, that could be proposed on this property. It was in discussions with Mr. Lee during the preliminary design process that that was not an avenue that he was interested in venturing into, namely because of the nature of the soils on the site and also the affordability issue of the homes within the area. Reducing the lot sizes would not be in character with the existing developments that are around around this property. As stated, the subdivisions, as I mentioned earlier, are all 3/4-acre lot subdivisions. Along Statenville Road, if you've traveled that way recently, there are also 29, as I'll call them, strip lots that are along Statenville Road, as I'm assuming were part of possibly a minor subdivision or a series of minor subdivisions in the past. All of those lots are 1 acre or greater. I just don't think that doing a cluster-type development on this type of property with the nature of the development around it would really be in character with what's there. Again, we're the tree removal on the site, if you look on the more technical plan and not the rendering, you can see that it's very limited. As I was informed, the tree stand that's on the site now in the forested wetlands is a young to moderately aged pine stand of trees that was actually placed by the farmer who's using the property now, namely because the soils percolated at such a great rate that it was not a suitable area to actually plant and harvest crops. So if you look at your plan of the 79 lots and being somewhat conservative, there's approximately 7 of those lots that would have to have any type of tree clearing in order to place a septic system or a dwelling. We don't believe that there's any objectionable features on the property that would require screening from anyone across the road. The property across the road is actually currently owned by the state of Delaware. In fact, in our plus hearing, the state had actually mentioned that they would be completely in favor of this project if we were putting a Wawa there, but we're not planning on putting a Wawa there. As stated, individual wells, individual septics would apply to this site. The septic systems, if approved, would be designed by a licensed septic designer. They would be submitted to Denerec for their eventual approval. Stormwater management on the site, as mentioned, would be handled in the two areas as shown. And erosion and sediment control would be limited by measures that would have to be designed and approved by the Sussex Conservation District. The wetland areas in the back, from our experience on previous projects, would have to have rather substantial silt fence in that area, namely a super silt fence, which is more like a chain link fence with silt fence over top of it to prevent any sort of sediment and any type of great load if there was a large storm event from entering those wetlands during the construction process. And I think that's about all that I have. The only other thing I wanted to touch on is the community or a central system for transportation. There's not much of a availability in this area for public transportation other than a DART bus route that travels northbound, southbound on 113. We had talked with, during the PLUS process, to Delta about possibly putting a DART bus stop near this site, being that it is only 80 feet from 113, but we were actually told in the process, and it's actually in the state's PLUS response, that due to the fact that 113 is considered an express route for the DART bus system, that DelDOT would not be in favor of placing a DART bus stop for any sort of public transportation there. But I guess we're still open for that if they're willing. And that's all that I have on the plan. If you have any questions, I'll hopefully be here to answer any questions you may have.
Mr. Murray, if I could just ask you, just to clear a couple comments I made, the grade of the property, how would you describe the grade of this property?
The grade is actually, as opposed to most developments that we come across, is actually quite decent. If you look at not the rendering, but the true, I guess I call the blueprint plan of the development, nearest the forested wetland areas, there's actually a significant drop-off The site itself, if you look at the grades, forms almost a bullseye from the center of the site where there's an existing pivoting irrigator there now. But there's actually a significant fall off into the forested wetlands around the property. Drops, for example, from a 44 down to a 39, 38. So we have a substantial drop in that. What that allows us is during the stormwater management design process, there's less of an opportunity that we would have any type of stormwater structure that would encroach into that wetland area, requiring a permit from the Army Corps of Engineers. It's beneficial. Typically, most of the sites that we see in the area are rather flat, and when we get near the ditches, it makes it very difficult to design the stormwater management without actually having to place a structure in the wetlands. This site is an exception.
And given the configuration of the wetlands in around this site, do you envision any need to disturb that during the construction process?
Absolutely not. The soils for the site, we haven't run any sort of stormwater management calculations yet for the design. As was mentioned earlier this evening on another project, the way stormwater management numbers work out, if you have an existing site and they're being used for row crops, it actually yields a rather high runoff rate. Because of that, we won't have to put so much into, I won't say the quality management of what's going on the site. We will have quality restrictions on what we have to do to limit the nutrient reduction or take away from the nutrients in the stormwater runoff. But what that allows us to do is send more water out post-development at a higher rate, basically creating a natural recharge into the wetland environment, which actually Denerec is typically in favor of.
Thank you. I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm already so.
Whatever, your show.
That concludes what I have to say on the project.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Jim Lee.
Hello, thank you.
Mr. Lee, you're the principal of the applicant. Dream Builders?
Yes.
Mr. Lee, I need you to, for the record, I need you to give your name and address, please.
My name is James Lee. I'm the owner and operator of Dream Builders Construction, and I reside in Greenwood, Delaware.
Okay. And you're the principal of the applicant, Dream Builders, Inc.?
Yes.
What does Dream Builders, Inc. do?
We're just a local residential home builder in this area. We have a sales office in Milford, and we have a business, our shop is in Greenwood, located just a little bit south of this site.
How long have you been building?
Currently, as Dream Builders Construction, I've been building houses for 5 years. Prior to that, I worked with Nanticoke Homes, building and selling houses for the Mervines for 7 years. Prior to that, I was in the fertilizer business, selling to farmers, ag chemicals, and fertilizer for Milford Fertilizer.
Tell the commission why you are applying for this subdivision.
Well, because I've been in the fertilizer business and I'm familiar with a lot of farmers and with their concerns, this particular subdivision, because of the way the soils are and the profile of the land, it's very conducive for a subdivision. It's completely surrounded by virgin forest all through the wetlands area. It doesn't join any farm or agricultural land other than itself. And across the street, it's all forested, state forest. It's never been timbered. On the other side of the road is part of the Redden State Forest, and it's easy accessible to Milford, but it's off 113. It's just a beautiful site for new homes, and I'm trying to keep it a rural type setting, and we're shooting for trying to find something a little bit more affordable than what's on the market presently. I have a lot of customers that come in my office looking for house lot packages. And they say I qualify for 250 or 275, and right now in that Milford market, you can't find affordable lot under $100,000 in any kind of subdivision. I built out the last lots that were in Sussex Woods, and I have one house in there right now for sale, and the asking price is 270. It's about an 1,900 square foot house with a 2-car garage, porch on the front, deck on the back. And we're just looking for something. And I have a lot of builder friends that are smaller builders in the Milford and Bridgeville and Greenwood area. They can't find any lots. And some of them have consequently gone out of business because the big guys have gobbled up all the, all the farmland, and they've restricted it to no outside builders. And I've had a couple of them already approach me, if I did get this subdivision approved, that they would maybe want to maybe take down a couple lots, with me approving the plans and the specs.
Would you be willing to do that?
Absolutely.
What kind of price range are you looking for the housing?
Well, with the cost of the farm and the infrastructure, I tried to keep you know, tried to keep the cost as low as I could. We're figuring on doing lighting and so forth, but as far as sidewalks and that type of thing, we're trying to keep the cost down. But we're looking at the packages to come somewhere between 240, 250 on up to 300, depending on the size of the house. And the square footage requirements are going to be like a 1,500 square foot rancher with a garage, or if be it a two-story, like an 1,800 square foot two-story, you know, trying to get something a little bit more affordable in that market, because it seems like there's a lot of houses, 400,000 or 500,000 house lot packages, but there's nothing under 300 unless you're going to buy a used house. And that was my goal. And it's just a beautiful location.
That's all I have. The commission has any questions for Mr. Lee?
All right, sir. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you.
I'm sorry.
Let's see.
You got to bear with me. This is the first time I ever did this.
You're fine. You're doing fine. Mr. Gordy? I'm sorry, Mr. Burton. Excuse me.
You've been waiting, so I don't want to question.
Yeah, my goodness.
So these will be lot home packages. That will be the deal.
There will be lot home packages, but if there's like some builders, or even if I have a home buyer that wants to buy a lot, I mean, my goal is house lot packages. Yes, but I'm not above, you know, like if a builder friend of mine or something like that says, you know, Jimmy, you know, would you be willing to sell me like 3 or 4 lots? You know, I would entertain the idea of doing that. And also, if I have a customer that comes in and wants to buy a lot, you know, I'd entertain the idea of selling the lot also.
And they'd all be stick-built homes?
All stick-built houses, yes.
The there's no amenities at all. Is that the cost?
That's what we were trying to keep the cost down, and we were trying to keep it like a rural type setting, because the whole outside of the perimeter is all you know forested land, and it's just a beautiful spot. And I'm kind of like the couple that was here earlier, like opposing being in nature. You know, I live out in Owen Station, but fortunately I bought the adjoining properties, so I could, you know, I like the rural setting. I guess I've got a little bit of country boy in me.
But you did mention there would be street lights. You would street light the place?
Yes, sir.
What about the entrance?
Well, we're really undecided on as far as what we're going to do in the entrance area. But my wife wants to put a nice entrance area in, you know, coming off the road. But until we have an approval, that's kind of all.
And you mentioned a DART system, or John did, but you didn't mention any type of a school bus stop. Would that be something you would do?
Yeah, we would entertain the idea of doing that if we have the approval, yes.
The where are the swales? For the getting back to the stormwater management fund.
As far as the swales, of course he's the land guy, but presently there's a center pivot right here.
Right.
Actually, all this area here was tillable farmland, but the center pivot never hit any of the corners. So consequently, Mr. Carlisle, because they kept burning up, because it's like sandy land, it's got positive flow in every direction. I mean, it's just kind of, this is the headwaters of Hudson's Pond. So these streams all combine and go across and go underneath the highway and go to the headwaters of Hudson's Pond. So it just kind of has a positive flow off both directions. So they're right, and now where he's got these stormwater ponds, that's real high sandy ground, but it's planted in like 15-year-old pine trees that are planted in rows that they planted because the corners were burning up. So the only place there's really, all the rest of it's all 80, 90-year-old virgin forest, basically, because it's along the edge of the wetlands. There's planted pine trees here, and in this corner, that corner, and that corner. They're talking about having the stormwater things. There's a slope falling off this way and this way, and that's where they're going to put the stormwater ponds and the overflow. The rest of it is just kind of positively flows all the way around.
Be any swales?
Are you referring to the proposed swales within the
yes.
development?
If you look at the technical plan and not the rendering, the standard county crawl section has a 20-foot wide paved drive throughout the development. From your edge of pavement, you'd have a 12-foot offset. That would basically be your center line, your swale, at a 4-to-1 slope, and then you would basically slope 3-to-1 back into the lot. So although not shown on the technical plan, it would be in the lighter green areas as shown along the pavement on the rendering plan. But if you look at the more technical plan, it shows what the county cross section is and what the requirements are for showing swales. So from, as stated, from the edge of pavement, you're coming over 12 feet here to where your center line of your swale.
Alongside the road.
Right. If you look at, what maybe give you a better idea of what it would look like, if you look at the simple handout that I gave you showing some of the photos, if you look at, of course, it'd be a little cleaner than this, but there's an existing deltoid drainage swale going down Statenville Road, figure 5. So it'd be something like that, more of a low-lying grass swale than anything else. It's mainly meant for conveyance.
Okay. No further questions.
All right. Thank you. Morning.
The land across the road is, you say, owned by the state?
Yes.
What branch of state government is it?
It's state forest? State forest. Yeah, it's part of Redden State Forest.
Department of Agriculture, I believe it's considered.
And what was their comment?
They wanted a Wawa.
Are you serious?
Yes. They're, well, you know, it was a joke. I'm not saying that's what they said. Of course, they were joking at the time. They said they'd be all for the project if it was a Wawa.
And that was all the comments?
Well, I mean, they're...
I
bring that up just in joking what they did say, but there were more comments. If you look at the plus comments, there are more comments there, specifically with the different branches of Denerick pertaining to the groundwater discharge. And of course, being that it's in a level 4 investment area, overall, during the plus process, you know, the comments that we received from the state agency planners were not favorable because it is in a level 4 investment area. Now, the project is located approximately 2 miles from, of course, the Ellendale Town Center. The center itself is an investment level 1. Out there from a bullseye, you go 2-3. We're approximately a mile and a half from an investment level 3. But we are in an investment level 4 area.
Okay. That's all the question I have.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Smith.
Will there be a homeowners association formed?
Yes, Mr. Smith. The restricted covenants that were submitted to Mr. Robinson apply okay. for that. The developer retaining the right to control that until he sold off the whole subdivision, but also retaining the right to turn it over after 75%. We might tweak that a little bit, but yes, there will be a homeowner association.
Are there any wetlands inside any of the lot lines? No. No other questions.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Lay?
No, I have no questions.
Counts?
Did you respond to the plus comments? You keep referring to them, but did you submit a response?
Yes, we did. We typically submit them back to them electronically. If you'd like a copy of our response, we could provide that to you. Typically, the County Holland will actually give us the comments electronically in a Word format where we can actually go through their document point by point through their comments and insert our response to their comments directly underneath them. And we typically submit it electronically, but if the commission would
so
request them, we can
in
provide.
Our record someplace there's a response that we have.
I'm assuming that Lawrence did receive them. We did send, I believe that we have in our project file, I can pull it out, I think there was a letter from state planning addressed to Lawrence stating that we had responded to their comments, but that the position of the state agency planners had remained the same.
I have the original comment for the next project. I don't know if the other.
I believe one didn't follow there or not. Was the response. I mean, some of the responses were, you know, we either agreed or disagreed.
Sure, I understand.
We did respond, and I understand that I thought I saw the response in the file.
Well, that's what we were looking for. We know we've got it for the next project. I just wasn't sure. We didn't seem to have anything in the record for this project.
Perhaps it wasn't before I was involved.
Shane doesn't have anything?
I don't have a copy of it.
I don't know if you might need a copy of it. This is my only copy, of course, but a letter dated November 22nd, 2005, addressed to Lawrence from Constance Holland, just stating attaches a copy of the letter received from Mr. John Murray of Kircher Engineering containing the response to the state agency comments. I don't know if
I found the one for next project.
That's for 05, 07, 04?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you submit that and get a copy?
Sure, if you'd like to make a copy of it this evening for your file.
I can come in tomorrow and get it.
Are we copying tonight? Our machine's on. I don't know if we got the response for the other one. I got the original comments.
Well, what they do is they send you the...
I got that for you.
That's what I thought it was, because it's a bold print.
Yeah, you got their response and then the... The original.
Yes, I thought.
That's great.
Yeah, if you have any other questions before you leave. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Robertson?
No questions.
All right then, gentlemen, if you'd be so kind as to stand down for a moment, we'll see if there's anyone here with any interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2005-62 Dream Builder Construction? Come on down.
My name's Richard Carlisle. I've farmed this farm since 1977, I think. My brother and I bought it and cleared it up. It was a nursery at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And we put an irrigation system on it. It's extremely sandy. Hard keeping the fertility up on it. But in any case, as from a farmer's standpoint, I don't like strip development because of the mailboxes and lanes all along, and that's why I'm in favor of this type. I could have sold off lots on a lot of my properties, but I've never really liked that as a farmer.
Mm-hmm.
And as Mr. Lee said, this property is isolated from other farmers and from other property owners. And I don't think you'll hear the complaints that you had here tonight on some other places. I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, we'll find out.
Right.
All right, sir.
Well, thank you very much for
Thank you, sir. Yes, sir. Appreciate your patience. Anyone else like to speak in favor? Is there anyone here who would like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir. Be so kind to give us your name and address and describe to me a Delmarva fox squirrel.
Well, Delmarva fox squirrel is big.
I need your name and address first.
All right, my name is Bill McBain. I reside at 20031 McBain Lane. My wife and I own the 50-acre parcel just to the westerly bounds of the said subdivision.
Okay.
I guess one of the first things I wanted to state is I didn't show up here to make financial hardship for Richard Carlisle. He's been a great neighbor. My wife and I purchased property in 93, and to tell you the truth, I just as soon keep him as a neighbor. I guess part of the reason I came here was to kind of have a little input as to at least the common ground and to explain some of the past history of the surrounding properties there. I guess one of the things I wanted to make the commission aware of that I had 4 acres of the property in a state wildlife program for the last 10 years. I've had 2 contracts on that property. I've maintained it as wildlife, basically as for wildlife. I hunt myself. The wildlife program that was established there was for quail reproduction in the area. It was through the state, but Quail Unlimited actually helped to sponsor part of that. Reason being is that there is a limited quail population in the area. I guess also, they mentioned about the state-owned property. Can't quite understand the comment about a Wawa being there, but anyway.
Let me address that for you real quick. It was a joke.
Okay.
It was just a joke. The guys from the state were just cutting up. They've got no place close by to buy their coffee, so they said something about the Wawa.
Just don't worry
about the Wawa. It's not going to happen.
Well, anyway, the state parcel runs approximately 300 acres. It runs on both sides of the road to the south, and it is hunted. So whether that's – I guess that's the purpose of that land also is to be hunted. You're probably not going to get a whole lot of opposition to the development where it is because I'm the only adjacent neighbor to it. And I was the only one that was given any notification to it. One of the things I'd like to make the commission aware of, as mentioned, there's an intersection at Statensville 113. That intersection has had numerous accidents, and as of late, there's been quite a frequency, increase in frequency of accidents. My wife actually called the state to try to get the trees trimmed back so that the view of the highway was better there. There's been at least 6 accidents that I know of there in the last 2 years. That's a pretty substantial amount of accidents. I also was not able to confirm this with the state. I'm sure they don't offer a lot of input as to their future plans, but my understanding is that 113 is to become a limited access highway sometime in the future. This would cut off access from the owners of that development to 113 and force them back on Union Church Road, which is a 50-foot wide tar and chip road. Also, I guess one of the other comments, I understand Mr. Lee wants to make affordable housing in the area. I just finished a 2-year project on my house, the only house that stands on the 50-acre parcel, and it's a 2,800-square-foot house. And I don't really think that it would help my property value too much to see 1,500 and 1,800-square-foot houses anywhere near it. They made comments, about the surrounding streams that surround the properties. They are the headwaters for the Hudson Pond. He and I hold probably half of the water that actually goes into the Hudson Mill Pond. It does concern me, that enough buffer is left that it doesn't, we don't get washed out into that wildlife area. I know on my side of the farm, I've had a turkey, a sitting turkey, the last 2 years out there. Deers, numerous amounts of deer. I'm sure Richard's probably sustained some crop damage from it. I do hunt. Land was hunted before I purchased it 10 years ago. I don't know if I can say any more as to the nature. It was kind of hard to tell you just how full it is with wildlife and that. Part of the reason I bought the 50 acres, and it actually has, through the approval of the commission here, it has been subdivided into a mini subdivision. There's 3 lots there, the smallest of which is 7 acres. So I didn't divide the land up to be sold off into small parcels. My intentions are to keep the property, pass it on to my children, the last of which was just born in the spring. Like I said, it's my only comments. I hope that the commission actually heed some of the comments and takes it in consideration when they go to review this development. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Appreciate your time and your patience this evening. Is there anyone else would like to speak in opposition? Is there anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday night with us to see if we make a decision, or you may call the office in the morning.